Let's look up friends, shall we? If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. A situation arises here in Daniel chapter 2. If you remember, Daniel and so many of the Israelites are in exile from their homeland. They're now living in Babylon. They've been raised there. And Daniel has stood the test of faith and has prospered. And he's quite high up in the government. And then this happens. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut to pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it for you." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation would change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." Then the astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magicians or enchanters or astrologers. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." It goes on to say this made the king very angry, and it made him more determined than ever. "I want the interpretation of my dream." And then, head of his guards, Arioch, was sent to arrest them all, and unfortunately, he included Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who were recognized as being very spiritual. So jump to now verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, who is called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what is in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these." He goes on to explain what the dream was, It spoke about the future. And I don't want to concentrate on that aspect. I want to concentrate. You can read the rest of it for yourself. I want to focus on no wise man, enchanter, magician, diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Amen. We had a, from time to time, 3 or 4 times a month, we have interviews at college, up at the college, the Ealing Bible College. We call it the MSB, which is the Ministerial Selection Board, of which I'm one of the members. And we interview prospective new ministers to the movement. And I love being part of it because you see who's coming in, and it's exciting to see the new faces. And in that process, there was one particular individual, a woman, and all her references from church leaders and stuff were amazing. They loved her. Her doctrinal, you have to fill in a doctrinal chart to fill in all the different beliefs and to make sure that you're in accordance with the beliefs, firstly of the Bible and of course of Elim. That was outstanding. So much so that even the marker, the one who marks it, was just, this is the best DQ I've ever seen. On her, they now do an interview. They now do a visual, so we get before we get to the interview, before we even go up to college, we get videos of each prospective candidate, and they just share who they are, what they do. It's not about the spiritual side. It's just about their life, just so we can get to know them a little bit. And everybody loved her. Everybody loved her on it. You know, in the team and everything. And so we were quite looking forward to the interview, and it wasn't a disappointment. In the discussions and everything, she just was right up there. We could see God's hand at work in her life. And so it came to the final interview, and it just happened that I was part of that. So we were interviewing her, and it was easy because we knew everything was fine, all the references, everything. But as we were going through, I just said, do you know, because I just felt imprinted by the Spirit, everybody likes you. We like you. Everything is just amazing. It's just a joy to be able to see you released. Just tell me this, do you like yourself? And it just, something happened within her at that point in time. Praise God, it wasn't a bad thing. She just needed to talk about it. And she realized, yeah, I don't actually. and so that was interesting. It was interesting. It didn't alter the interview in any way, shape, or form. But it was just interesting for me because I just felt the prompting of the Spirit. And it's ever so good when God comes into the room. In any circumstance, in any situation. Because you do your best with your wisdom and stuff, but when God starts to prompt and poke around, things happen. Amen? Real change happens in a situation or in a life. Now, here we have a situation where God comes into the room. I've simply entitled this message, I Know a Man Who Can. I Know a Man Who Can. Because that's what Daniel basically was saying in this situation. King Nebuchadnezzar was not impressed with his wise men, magicians and astrologers. They used all kinds of tricks and stuff to interpret. So whatever the king would say to them, this is what I've dreamt, or this is what I'm thinking, this is what they would then interpret that. And they'd become obviously quite good at it because he referred to them often. And therefore, his first response to this dream that he had was, oh, must talk to the wise men, to the magicians, to the astrologers, to those who are skilled in these things and able to interpret. But there was something also in the back of his mind which is revealed by the way he asks them. He said, but this time, I want you to tell me the dream and then to interpret. Then I'll know that what you're saying is actually correct. You see, we do get people do get mixed up with palm reading, crystal balls, the stars in the newspapers. People are always searching and looking for explanations to situations that they find themselves in. And people can become quite skilled in reading people's emotions, reading where they're at, just by our humanity and being around people. And they can easily say things of a general nature, which then people say. Now, the strange thing is, if you say to someone, you're going to meet a dark, handsome stranger, then that woman, inevitably, if she believes in these things, antennas up, everywhere she goes, she's up, she's looking for it to happen. Yeah? And there's an element sometimes of putting things into people's minds by the words you say. Things like, I've cursed you and something bad's going to happen to you and your family. And if it's that way, then again, it can weigh on your shoulders and it can affect the way that you are. Praise God, as believers in Christ, there's no curse that can hold you. The curse has been broken. The curse of sin has been broken. There's no words that you need to take on and carry them because you've been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah? But those tricks can be done because it just plays on your mind. It plays on your mind. If you see anything that vaguely resembles what has been said, you start looking and then you start going down that dark valley. Always looking. And so he turns to these guys, and maybe a lot of this kind of stuff had happened before, where he's thinking, it's been general stuff. There's nothing that's been really spot on that these guys have given me. And in fact, I'm not sure if they're hoodwinking me. So, tell me my dream. And then interpret it. Now, the response of the magicians, a number of things from the passage we read, the response of the magicians, well, tell us the dream. And we will interpret it. No. You tell me what I've dreamt. A number of things happen. Fear. Because when you don't know, when you don't know and you don't know what's coming, fear can grip you. Fear, the outcome of not knowing, they knew what the outcome would be, i.e., they would be executed. They would be executed. And so the outcome of not knowing what was going to happen started to grip them. Fear. Panic began to grip them. They knew that they had a capacity, that they didn't have a capacity to solve the problem. All their tricks, whatever they'd done in the past, would be of no avail now because he was asking them something that they just didn't know how or what to do. There was uncertainty. Because having exhausted their capacity without success, I tried to persuade him, what could they do? They just didn't know what to do. And then, of course, anxiety comes out in those verses. The worry for what's around the corner, what's to come, begins to grip them. They became anxious. And then they became hopeless. Kind of hopelessness slipped into their lives because the future was bleak. Confusion. All they had was questions. Please, please tell us the dream. Please. But they had no answers. And then inertia came in. They were just halted dead in their tracks, nowhere to turn, didn't know what to do, couldn't take one step forward, couldn't even take a step backward. Their brain was blown, and just inertia, inactivity started to take place. Any of those things ring a bell? Any of those things ring a bell? When we don't know the unknown, fear can come in. Panic can come in sometimes. Anxiety, certainly. Uncertainty. And sometimes, depending on the situation, whatever it is, a kind of hopelessness can creep in where you can see no way through this. And hope goes out the window. Or confusion. And inertia, where you are just, you don't know where to go, left, right, backwards, forwards, you just don't know what to do. And what we have here in these passages is a confrontation between fake and genuine. Fake and genuine. The magicians proved to be fake. So actually the king was right. What they were telling him beforehand with all the other stuff that had ever happened, there was something that he just didn't strike true. But this time he wanted to know, because this dream actually shook him. And he needed to know absolutely. So he didn't want anything fake. He wanted the genuine. And this is where Daniel comes in. Daniel comes in. I would say today, it's true of all time, but because we are alive now, it feels to me like more than ever, people need to see the genuine. Not fake. The genuine of what's going on. We've got AI, virtual reality, out there where people can immerse themselves in another world and can bring another world right into our front room, right into our hands. We've got fake news. Fake news. We've got fake news where it's even got to the extent where nationally, you know, only 48% of the population actually vote, of those who actually can vote, because they don't know what is right, what's wrong, who's telling me the truth, are you genuine, are you honest with what you're going to be doing and once you get in power, blah, 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 and there's a lot of fake news going around, a lot of rationalism where reason is everything. If we can get a genuine explanation, give me an explanation, that I will believe, rather than anything to do with faith. Kick faith out, give me reason. And this rationalism has just taken over. And for us as Christians, we need to be clear. Clearer more than ever, convinced of our faith, first and foremost. Filled with the Spirit of God, so that we can shatter deception. And we can see the truth and live the truth. Amen? That needs to be our response to, the unknown. What is going on where people are just don't know what's going on. Now, facing the unknown is a testing time, not only for unbelievers, but for Christians. When we don't quite know what's going to happen, how do we handle it? It's a time for either proving faith or potentially for settling or for stepping into a spiral of decline spiritually. And so we need to be clear. We need to stand the test of faith. Let me give you some examples. Abraham. If we look at Hebrews 11, there's a long list of heroes of the faith. Here's three of them. Abraham, he hears God's voice. He lives in maybe modern-day Iraq or Iran, around the area. They worship the moon god, Nana. That's their god. And then he hears a voice other than that, the voice of God. And he tells him, leave this place and go to a land I will not show you, but it's generally in that direction. And up he gets, and he leaves. In faith. That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do when you don't exactly know what you're doing, where you're going. It's unknown, but you just feel the prompting of faith. How did he get that? He heard from God. He heard from God. So I think we can safely say that was either a dream, a vision, or in prayer. Some activity where he was connecting with God. He hears his voice. And not only that, that voice is so clear, it persuades him to leave the worship of the moon god and believe. And once that relationship had been formed, faith began to arise in the one in whom he'd made the relationship, the living God. And so, in other words, he brings God into his situation. And then he is able to move forward with faith. Moses, well, having murdered somebody because they killed a fellow Jew, and he responded to that, he then had to flee, having been a prince of Egypt. He ends up fleeing out to modern-day Israel, that area. There he meets a Moabitess, and they get married, and he for 40 years he forgets all that had happened. And then God speaks to him, encounters him, and he hears God's voice. And God says, now, listen, this is what I want from you. You've got to go back to Egypt because you are the one who's going to lead my people out. And he knew if he went back, he'd left Egypt as a murderer. And therefore, what was waiting for him? Even his own people didn't particularly like what he'd done in their defense. And so, certainly from the Egyptians and maybe even from his own people, he thought, what kind of a reception would I get? I could end up in prison. But when God had spoken, he stepped out in faith. End result is that the Israelites were delivered from slavery. Again, the solution to not quite knowing, bring God into the circumstance and follow the step of faith. It wasn't just him, though. There was Noah. Noah told to build an ark in an arid part of the world because the flood would come that would be so great as to devastate the whole earth. So he did. And he was obviously ridiculed by all the people around him, thinking, what's he doing? This old man building this huge ark because it's going to rain, when we know there's nothing like that kind of volume of rain that ever happens in this area. And of course, he goes through all that ridicule because he'd heard from God. He'd brought God into that situation, and therefore, he stepped forward in faith. And you saw he could go on and on. Esther, knowing that she was in a position of power as the queen to go and speak to the king, but only if he received her with his scepter, if he was in a good mood. But she took that risk because of the urgency of the situation. But not before she'd asked everybody to pray. She brings God into the situation. On the other hand, you take the children of Israel, after they had been released from slavery, journeyed to the promised land that God had promised them was there, and on the way in that journey, so many miracles had happened, you would have believed that they would believe God about anything. But having got to the border of the promised land, they then just lose faith. They then see an enemy in there who seems bigger and stronger. They would have to fight for that land, and they back off, and they don't go in. End result? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Why? Because of lack of faith. They didn't bring God into the situation, and they made a decision on their own strength. Now, the Bible refers to the mysteries, to mysteries or the unknown as a mystery. Not in the sense of something that's mystical or something that's out of this world, as it were. But it basically describes a mystery as something that God knows, but we do not know. And we would not know it until God reveals it. That's what the Bible talks about when it speaks about mystery. In Ephesians 3, 6, Paul speaks about the mystery of the Jews and Gentiles living together in harmony in God's community of faith, the church. At a time when there was just no way that Jews and Gentiles would live together. A Gentile could convert to becoming a Jew on their terms. But they will always be not quite fully there. They never saw themselves as one with all the inheritance of the past. But actually what God was saying was, no, in the church, Jew and Gentile are one. I view them the same, no division. And that corresponds with black and white, with black and Asian. It corresponds with any racial differences in the church of God. We are one. There is no difference, Jew or Gentile, black or white, etc., etc., etc. We are one because we now have one thing in common, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. That was a mystery that God revealed to Paul, to the church of God, and so he was able to go boldly and preach to the Gentiles, welcome them into the body of Christ. You see, one of the great assurances that we have of faith is that our God, who is omniscient, who knows everything, knows us. He sees us. He really does. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation. He knows all things that are happening at present across the universe, past, present, future. He knows the hidden things that men's knowledge as yet does not know. God knows all that. He knows what's out in space. He knows what's to the depths of the ocean. He knows what makes life tick, where it comes from. He knows all that stuff. Man's still trying to find it all out. He knows what is possible as well as what is actual. All things that might occur under certain circumstances are in his mind. There's no variation. You can invent the most complex computer who can take every nuance of possibility, and that computer can be the best computer ever invented, but it comes nowhere near knowing the mind of God. He knows everything. Perfect in knowledge, even down to our destinies. He knows it. So, with that regard, what is our response to the unknown? A number of things to learn from Daniel. Simple things. If you're in a situation where it is unknown, you're facing that. Number one, keep a cool head. Keep a cool head. Daniel didn't panic. When he heard about this, he went to Arioch, who was the guard, the guy who was responsible for the executions, the chief executioner, and he said to him, tell me, what is it exactly that the king has said? So he keeps a cool head, and he begins to find out information. That is the second thing that you need to also do. He didn't run away. He began to find out information. So keep a cool head, and secondly, find out the facts. Do your research. Do the best that you can to find out whether your circumstance is, whether it's to be with your health. I must confess, Jill's the exact opposite of me. And I don't know if this is a general thing for women, males and females, but Jill, if there's a sickness, then Jill will be on the computer. She'll be talking to the girls. They'll be finding all the information out about that. So every nuance of it. If it's my turn, sickness, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'll just blaze on as if it's not there. Is that just me? So I don't know if it's the difference between male and female or whether it's just me. But the way that he began to handle it, he found out the facts. He faced the issues and found out, did his investigations. He wasn't overcome by the immensity of the situation. Thirdly, he makes space. He makes space. Verse 16, what's he say in verse 16? At this, Daniel went into the king and asked him for time so that he might interpret the dream. So he makes time to actually focus and deal with the issue. And sometimes we need to make time. If there's a huge issue, we can't necessarily say just continue in our normal pattern of behavior. If we're going to address it, something has to change. We have to take time out to look at things. Fourthly, enlist support. So having looked into it, verse 17, it tells us there, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning the mystery. So he enlisted prayer. He shared the situation with his friends. Isn't that a beautiful thing? When you have confidence enough in your friends where you know that you can say to them and they'll be praying. And they'll pray for you. It is a great weapon that we have as believers. Amen? The power of prayer. And sometimes, even if it's in the state that you're in a state where you feel you cannot pray, but if you've shared it with others, they are praying for you. You've got backup. You've got your back covered. Enlist support. Fifthly, don't give up hope. Trust God. Because he tells the king, yeah, tell me what it is. Okay, give me time and I will find out what God is saying and I'll come back and tell you. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Trust God. And then he channeled his energies into talking with the Lord, seeking the Lord, and God gave him an answer. The answer. Don't give up hope. Sixthly, give glory to God. When the answer comes, give glory to the one who gave you it, the revealer of mysteries. Give glory to him. And when it's not about you and it's about other people and they are in a position of not knowing, in that position maybe of fear, of uncertainty, of dread, of panic, of whatever, what do we do with those kind of people? And this is where we have to look at John chapter 2, the wedding at the Cana of Galilee. And there they run out of wine, which was a social disaster. In fact, you could be fined if you put on a big feast and you ran out of wine. You could be fined by the authorities because it was that much part of the culture to make sure that there was excess, not too little. Amen? It doesn't happen anywhere else, does it? Is it? I don't know. Yeah. So it was a really bad situation that, this group found themselves in and they were panicking. And it came to the attention of Mary. And what did she say? She pointed out Jesus and she said, ask him, whatever he says, do it. In other words, she knew a man who can. She knew the man who can. Because it's not about us in any particular situation, and we've got to be clear on that. It's about whom we serve. We are ambassadors. And I can't solve your situation, but I know a man who can. And our responsibility is to bring God into that situation for that individual. We have to bring him in. That's what she did. And of course, the water turned into glorious wine. It tasted good. It was the best. And Daniel does exactly the same thing. He doesn't say, okay, yeah, I've got this reputation. I'm Daniel. Yeah, man, tell me. Just tell me and I'll tell you. None of that. He points to God. There is a God in heaven. He knows your mystery. Now I'll go and I'll talk with him and I'll come back and I'll give it to you. His confidence is in the Lord. And God didn't let him down. And he was able to bring God into the situation of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar's response, after all that Daniel had said, and the things came true, both in terms of the future, the empire, but also in terms of himself being going mad, becoming like an animal on the field, eating grass. When he came out of it, his testimony was, Nebuchadnezzar's, his testimony was, now I know the God of Daniel is the God of gods, the King of kings over all. And anybody who speaks differently, I'll hang him and I'll put nails around him. And all. You know, he was doing well until he came to that point as to what he would do. Yeah, he's still a bit of his old life there. But he gives glory to God because what he'd failed on was giving glory to God. He thought, I am Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this vast empire that I have accomplished. And he refused to give glory to God till God drove him mad. And then he realized there is a God in heaven. And he called him the God of mysteries. Is there a mystery in your life at this time? Is there the unknown? Where you don't quite know what's ahead, what's around the corner? Keep a cool head. Find out the facts. Make space to address it. Enlist support. Don't give up hope. Give glory to God when the answer comes. Because the answer will come. He will make a way. And he'll show it to you. And if it's not about you, but about other people, the same thing applies, except you will be the one who needs to bring God into that situation. Shall we stand? If that's you, just raise your hand right now if there's something of the mystery, the unknown, just right where you are as we pray our final prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you are the revealer of mysteries. You are the one who is the omniscient one, the all-knowing one. And what we don't know, we are so grateful that you know. And your word has declared that if we bring you into situations, if we bring you into circumstances in our life or in the life of others, we can have confidence that you will be the one who shows the way. Gracious God, it tells us that in this great annuals of faith in Hebrews 11, that none of those great heroes who all passed away eventually, from Noah right through history until the modern day, until Jesus came, none of them saw the end result of their faith because they died before Jesus came. But yet, they believed. Help us, Lord, to stand in that same faith where maybe we don't see things as we would have them. But when we stand, ultimately, the will of God will be done. And you will make a way. Father, you see every need here, every unknown. Please, give the answer. Give the faith. Give the ability to live until that comes to pass. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.